We'll call the board.
Please repeat the date. I just started the recording.
Oh, okay. It's November 4th, 2020 at 6:07 p.m. This is a meeting of the Chabig Island Board of Selectmen.
Chris had a question, Donna. Christine had a...
I just wanted to make sure David turned the recorder on, and he did.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm going to do a roll call to make sure we can all hear each other. Mr. Beaupre?
Here.
Mr. Dyer?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Ms. Damon, I can hear myself. Ms. Stratton?
Here.
And Ms. Ophont?
Here.
Okay. And just to, for the record, Mr. Corson is not on. Mr. Hill tried to reach him and was unable to. So we're hoping maybe he'll sign in a little while. So the first thing on the agenda is public comments for items not on the agenda. So is there anyone who has a comment that they would like to make? Anyone in the attendees? And you can just raise your hand and then David will figure out how to call on you. All right, seeing none. While we're in the public comments, Marjorie, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about tonight?
And you mean under other business or?
Well, I was just thinking, I forgot to put on the town administrator report. So I didn't know if you had anything or don't feel you have to. I mean, I just am giving you a chance.
There were just those communications.
Yeah, I've got those under communication. So that, is that it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving right along, we have a lot on the agenda tonight and we have an executive session afterwards. So we're going to try to go through this as quickly as possible. The first item under regular business is 21-108 to review and approve the warrant articles to be included at a special town meeting. And they are in the packet, they were in the packet online. Just for some background information, for those of you who are on tonight who may not be up to speed with this issue, we have three items that we didn't include in our town meeting for the referendum town meeting we did in July. And we're dealing with those plus another one. So the three items that we're talking about here, why don't we take them one at a time, and if anybody has any questions. The first is to see if the town will vote to appropriate at $94,900 or $100,000, we can talk about the number, from the unassigned fund balance for 10% of the cost of the Army Corps of Engineers Federal Navigation Project for Chabig Island. And what this means is this is for dredging at the Stone Wharf. The total cost of the project is estimated at $1.964 million. We have $101,500 in our dredging reserve fund, so we need to appropriate the additional amount needed for the 10% contribution, which is $196,400. And so that's the background of it. From the board, do you think we should just stick with that number or should we go for 100,000 in case they change, something comes up in between? Mark?
I'd go for 100,000, Donna.
Yeah, I think I would too. Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
I agree.
Okay, you agree, David. What about you, Bo?
I agree also.
Yeah, this has been such a moving target and we're getting close and we don't want to do anything to have to, you know, that might jeopardize this. So that's the first issue. I'm going to ask if there's anybody, any of the attendees who would like to talk about it.
See none.
Okay, seeing none, let's move on to the next one. These are all pretty self-explanatory. The next is a drainage easement to see if the town will vote to authorize the Board of Selectmen to enter into a permanent drainage easement agreements with Jonathan W. Riley, 20 Firehouse Road, and Leroy S. and Suzanne B. Jackson, 18 Firehouse Road. And basically, that's to control the water that's coming off the island and going down through their property, flooding them out. And so it's giving the town the right to go on those properties and fix it. Is there anyone who has a comment about that project? Okay, great. The third one has to do with a few years ago, the town acquired some property, tax-acquired property. The person didn't pay their taxes, they went through bankruptcy or something. And the town acquired about 8 acres of land on North Road. And while there was a committee that was looking at it, and they noticed that the Granell family had a strip of land that kind of went between the tax-acquired property and the other property that was owned by the town. And then the Granells had another piece of land. So the town got together with the Granell family, and they came up with the idea of having a survey done and reconfiguring the lots. So they all got the same amount of square footage, but it was much more usable for the future. And we don't know what we will do with it. They're not sure what they will do with it. But basically, that's the bottom line on that. So the town has to vote to authorize to grant and accept deeds for the exchange of property. Now, I don't know if this is the time to talk about it or not, but we had an agreement to share the cost of the survey, but we didn't apparently have an agreement about the cost of the legal fees. And so we had two sets of legal fees. They had, the town had a basic, you know, legal fees to draw up the deeds and all that stuff and to review it. And at the time, they were going to give us a deed that was a quit claim deed. It was not going to be a warranty deed. So the Board of Selectmen asked the town attorney to do a title search. And as a result, they found there were some missing people who should have signed off back in the 1970s. And so the Granells then went and gathered the people up and got all those deeds signed. And they spent about $1,000, and I'm not sure exactly how much we spent, but probably around the same thing. Marjorie may have that number, may not. But my feeling is that part of it should probably be a wash. I mean, I think it was a good thing that we did it, because having a warranty deed, considering that neither party knows what we're going to do with the property. Marjorie.
So to clarify, what will be approved at town meeting is actually a quit claim deed. The previous deeds were called release deeds. They're not warranty deeds. And I asked our attorney about that, and their assumption was that we were going to get title insurance once this was approved. So these deeds, I believe I gave you copies in the packet.
So
they're not warranty deeds.
So they're not giving us a warranty deed.
No, they did a complete title search, but these are called quit claim deeds. The previous deeds that went to the selectmen for approval were called release deeds.
So, and why, do we know why they wouldn't give us a warranty deed?
I asked that question. I said, and he just said that the assumption was that you would get title insurance.
Well,
And as to the legal fees, while you're looking that over, we've spent a total of $3,419.75 for legal fees. The most recent costs, after it was decided to do more, do a title search, that was $2,743.25. Previous to the move to have more title work done, it was $676.50. So the title search work was, as I said, $2,743.25. And as Donna said, the survey was $5,500.
So I guess the question is, how much more do we want to ask the Granels for more money for that title search?
Oh, there's Jay.
Hi. I'm sort of coming in on the back side of this. Sorry, I had some problems getting in tonight. But I gather we're talking about the Grinnells?
Yes.
And this is the question, Marjorie, you and I talked about the other day?
Yes. So Jay and I both remember, and there's some support for the 50-50 split or splitting the cost of the survey. There's nothing documented about sharing the cost of the legal fees.
Okay. It is my recollection that, and I went back through a lot of paperwork and so forth and the letters, and we never specifically said, you're going to do this and we're going to do that. The understanding was we were going to split the costs. And the costs in that terms are the legal work and the survey.
So I guess my suggestion is, if they've spent close to $1,000 so far, that would on the legal part. And so that means that the legal would be about, and we've spent about $2,000. So that's like $3,000 for the title search, their cost and our cost. So if we ask them for another $500 for the title search, and then half of whatever the legal fees were up to that point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of the legal fees are because they had issues with their title.
Right, but I'm talking about the ones before that we got to that point. Marjorie had them broken down, Jay.
So I have, before we started the title search work, it was $676.50 that we spent. That was up through March of 2020. And then we started in with the title work in May of 2020. And since then, we've spent $2,743.25 for the title search work for a total of $3,419.75.
I would just take, and then they spend another $1,000 themselves?
Yes.
I would just take the total and say, okay, we each take half of it. And go from there, and the same with the survey. Whatever those numbers work out to be.
So it looks like it would be around 33 plus the 1,000 would be 4,000. So half of 4,000, if each paid about 2,000, they've already paid 1,000. So if they paid us another 1,000, would that be equal?
Well, does that cover everything that we're going to have to spend on this?
Marjorie, do you think we'll have any more expenses on this project, on this?
Not that I know of, unless there's a few more little legal fees. I mean, we have to record the deeds. We have to, you know, do the paperwork for the transfer tax declaration forms. I have to get some, you know, federal ID numbers from the Grinnells. There's a little bit of paperwork that has to be done once it's approved at town meeting.
How much do you think that would amount to? I mean, it doesn't cost that much to register a deed. Would it be like $100 or?
It's $19 a page. One, two, three, four, five, six times
20.
120. I'd add $250 in and tell them we'll split it. That way we'll cover whatever we need to cover.
All right, is everybody okay with that that proposal that we had what the Grannels have spent and what we've spent on legal, and then we and proposed that it might cost 250 more. Marjorie comes up with a number and we split that. Bo?
Well, the town spent 34 something and they spent 1,000. Just take 1,000 off the 34 and divvy up the 2,400 that's left.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So make it 2,700. Split that in half.
Well, how
is we're adding $250 to that or something like that for whatever remaining paperwork. Make it an even number.
1,200? Is that what you're thinking? 1,200 for legal fees?
No, make $250. I don't know what this was, a number that was just thrown out. So was adding $250 to the number we have remaining.
Okay.
What?
And then what?
So if you add 250 to that, nice.
And then you add in whatever the receipt was that he sent from his lawyer, which was close to $1,000. Yeah. And then you're just dividing it in two. So if it's got around $4,000, that's what we're talking about. They've already paid $1,000. So if they gave us another $1,000, we would be even, right? And then in addition to that, then they split the survey. But we're just talking about the legal fees.
But the town spent a total of $3,400. A little over $3,400, right?
For just legal. That's not the legal. Survey was $5,500.
Right, that's a different, let's just talk about the legal and how we divide it up. So we add their $1,000 to it. So then that's $4,400. So that's 1,200. Okay, so that'd be 2,200. They've already paid $1,000. So if they gave us 1,200,
can I make a suggestion? Why, Marjorie, I think, has the idea of what we're talking about. Let her work out all the numbers and take care of it. I mean, we don't need to sit here and spend 20 minutes figuring out to the last $22.
No, I agree with you, but I do think that we need a motion that says that we're going to split.
I move that we add up, that we split both the legal and the survey fees, and they pay half the bill and we pay half the bill. And that when we calculate the legal fees, it's what we've spent plus $250 for what we expect to spend, plus whatever they have spent, and figure out what half of that is.
Okay, that's a motion. Is there a second? David seconded it. Okay, any discussion? Anyone in the audience have a discussion? Okay.
No takers.
All right, so we're prepared to vote. All right, Mr. Beaupre.
Let me just ask one thing. Marjorie, do you've got the gist of that?
No.
Why did you say no?
I'll figure it out.
Okay. I'll listen to the tape. Life easy here.
I'll listen to the tape.
Okay, so let's vote and move on. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. All right. The next is to set a date for a referendum town meeting. And I'm going to suggest that we do it Tuesday, January 10th. Does anyone want to make a motion to that effect?
Well, I thought we were going to do it the 26th. You don't like that?
Oh, I didn't see it in the pack. I didn't see a date.
It's on the front of the...
Well, I was just concerned about it, making sure we had it done in plenty of time, but...
What date are you suggesting?
Was there something about the 10th that we didn't like?
What was the date
again? We never talked about it as a group. Maybe it was internal in your office.
I talked about it with Christine and Vika, and because this is like an election day. We have to have election workers, and you know the polls are going to be open for a day. So
January 10th is a Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay.
And we had talked about having it on the 26th.
I'd prefer to do it earlier than the 26th, just because they have not given us an idea of exactly when they want. They've said in February, but it could be the 1st of February. I want to make sure we have plenty of time to transfer money and everything.
What do you mean? I'm not following you, Donna.
What I'm saying is if we wait till the 26th and they want to do it at the very beginning of February.
Who's they? Who's they?
The Corps of Army Engineers, who are going to tell us what day they want the money.
Oh.
So I'm just concerned that we don't have a date yet from them.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. Have we talked about what we're agreeing to yet, or are we just agreeing to it? Did I miss that part of the meeting?
I didn't quite catch that.
We've had two or three letters from them past.
Donna, I know we've had letters from them. My point simply is this. Have we talked about what they're asking from us? Or are we just saying, okay, they sent us some letters, we're going to sign off on it?
All right, well, I thought that it was Mark.
If I may suggest, we're not really talking about the meat of the agreement at this time. We're talking about a proposed warrant article to present to the town meeting on January, possibly 26th, to ask to transfer funds from the undesignated fund balance. We're not talking about the actual dredging agreement right now, Donna.
Right.
Shouldn't we talk about the meat of the issue?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it does raise the question as to exactly what Jay's asking, and it's a separate issue. Maybe we should set this meeting first and then figure out when to talk about.
Let's just finish this and then we can decide what to do about the next part of it. Let's just set a date. We can always change the date if we don't want to do it.
It's actually the next agenda item, David.
Oh, yeah, it is. Thank you. Forgot about that.
I think we're just talking about setting a date, aren't we?
That's all we're doing, is talking about setting a date for... And
could I ask a question, Donna?
Sure.
Marjorie, if we have the meeting on the 26th, that leaves you plenty of time to withdraw money from that reserve fund if it is approved, correct?
Well, what we write the check out of our checking account, and then I reimburse the checking account from the reserve fund.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean. So my point is, I don't think the 26th is going to be too late, Donna, in my opinion.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Sorry. So does someone want to make a motion that we hold this on the 26th, Mark?
I will make a motion that we hold a special town meeting at the Shebig Island Hall. Is that accurate?
Not necessarily.
You can read the top of it, that we will have a referendum vote. We'll have a special town meeting on January 26th.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion that we have a special town meeting on Tuesday, the 26th of January, 2021, at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I second.
All right, and that's been seconded. Is there anyone on the board have any questions about setting that date?
No, what's the location?
The hall. Shebig Island Hall Community Center.
And if we're in a lockdown by then, which is entirely possible, would Zoom be an alternative?
We can't do a town meeting on Zoom.
So
all we can do is the best we can do. And I mean, that was one reason that I wanted it as early as possible in case we had some glitches, but we have to have a certain number of days before the meeting that we have to set this up.
I don't mean to be a wet blanket, but the hall capacity is now getting reduced again, I think, to 25.
The meeting is going to just be a referendum vote where people just go to the ballot box. It's not going to be a town meeting where people are going together.
Oh, because it says special referendum town meeting.
A referendum town meeting is one where you just go and take a piece of paper and go in the voting booth. Right, and so check it off.
So when you say 8 o'clock, it's all day then?
It's from eight o'clock in the morning to 8 at night.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see.
All right, anyone out from the board before I go to the public? Jay? Yeah.
How would we like to think about trying to do an actual town meeting? I mean, you're talking about January 26th. You're not going to have a huge turnout.
We have absolutely no idea.
We could do 50 to 75 people at the rec center.
Number one, we can only gather in Maine now 50 people. Or one person for every 300 square feet, whichever is less. And we have no idea where we're going to be in COVID. The reason we're putting this on here is because we've waited since 2009 to get this dredging done. And if we don't go forward, if we have to cancel it, we have a major problem about it. We'll be putting it off for another year. Anyone else from the board? Anyone in the public?
Nobody in the public.
All right. So who made the motion? Mark?
I did.
And who seconded it? Bo?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So if there's no other conversation, then we'll do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes. So we've set the date. Now the next thing on the agenda is to authorize the town administrator to send a letter of intent to the Army Corps of Engineers regarding the Stonewall Dredging Project. And just to bring this up, people up to date on this, we received a draft report a couple of weeks ago, and we made comments to the Army Corps, and they expect any day to have a final report, which will be made public, about this project. What they've asked us is to have a letter of intent within the next week or so. And Marjorie's drafted this, to say that we are intending to go forward and that we're intending to participate by paying 10% of it upfront and 10% of the money after the project is completed. And that's basically where we are. David.
Yeah, this may be totally futile, but I was just wondering, have we tried to negotiate at all with the Army Corps to find out what the reason for the costs are, if there's anything in there that doesn't make sense, or if we can reduce the cost in any way? I think we should at least have a discussion about that with them before we just take it at face value.
Thank you, David.
Well, we can ask them to come down and talk to us after they do their final report. They've got a very detailed budget. Did you all read that report?
Well, at some point, I think that budget should be reviewed for you know, basically the best deal we can get.
It's fine. We can invite them to come. I talked to him on the telephone because I got in touch with him about some content errors in the report. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's like, okay, if you guys want to do this, this is what we're doing. I mean, I don't see there's any negotiation, but that if you want to try, we can certainly do that.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't expect that there would be any, but it might be worth a try. Jay, I think, was starting to say something.
Has anybody gone through this particularly carefully?
I did. I went through it, and that they've made major changes because they had substantive errors.
Does it affect
the bottom line? Would you like to point out what the? I mean, I went through it, and they keep talking about the federal portion is 90%, and the non-federal is 10%, and then they get to the end and they say, oh, by the way, the non-federal owes another 10% at completion. So our 10 plus 10 plus their 90 is 110%, just adding some simple numbers together. You know, they want $341,000 for eelgrass mitigation, which is to say that they're gonna, you're shaking your head no, Marjorie?
My understanding is that the eelgrass problems are off the table now, that they're going to do mitigation.
No, and we're paying for the mitigation. We're paying for them to plant it in Kittery.
In Kittery,
I didn't get that.
That's the mitigation.
I didn't get that out of the email that I read.
That's what he told me.
I mean, I'm looking. It's on.
It's
in the report. They want 340. Pardon me?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
It's in the report. They want 341,000 for eelgrass mitigation, of which we end up paying 80% or 20%, so it's $68,000. To plant eelgrass in Kittery or Kennebunk or wherever they're going to plant eelgrass. Whereas if you look at all their drawings, if they move the damn channel a few feet, they'd eliminate 90% of the eelgrass issue.
Well, if this board's not prepared to ask Marjorie to send this letter, we need to get in touch with them ASAP because we're on a very fine line and there are other people in line behind us and this could put this off for a year. So if we want more communication with them, then we need to have Marjorie call them tomorrow and see if they'll come for a special meeting.
Well, so my question is does this board want to just close our eyes and say, whatever you want, we'll sign up for it? Or do we want to ask some questions?
How's Mark?
I'm not going to answer that question because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I will recall that when we did the improvement project over at Cousins Island, basically that was still the beginning of that permitting process. We were still part of the town of Cumberland, and then we became our own town, and the improvement project went through. And there was a $40,000 to $60,000 eelgrass payment in that one as well. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's worth it. I'm not saying it should be. That's the way it should be. I'm saying that's what happened. And I specifically asked Bill Shane about it. And he told me that it was not going to be worth trying to fight it because it was part of the requirement of the project going forward. So my opinion is we can get upset about being told it was 10% local costs for the first few years that we talked about this project, and now it's 20%, which to us is another $200,000 at some point. And we can get upset about the eelgrass situation mitigation requirement, which is pretty clear, and Jay is accurate when he says there is a charge in there which we have to pay 20% of. And we can ask them to talk about it, but I'm not prepared to hold this up myself. I'm going to back this letter of intent that Marjorie has drafted and recommend that it moves forward to the Army Corps of Engineers at this point.
Is that a motion, Mark?
Yes, that is my motion.
Is there a second to Mark's motion?
I need that repeated, please.
I would like to make a motion to authorize the town administrator to send a letter of intent of support, if you will, to the Army Corps of Engineers for the dredging project for the town of Chabig Island.
Is there a second to that?
I'll second it with a friendly amendment. I wasn't looking to bring them out here for a meeting or anything like that. I would just simply like to ask them, is there anything that can be done to reduce the cost of this? And if so, what? And I would suggest that Marjorie can have that conversation before drafting the letter. So my friendly amendment would be to what Mark said, plus confirm the details of the costing prior to the letter. And Marjorie can do that over the phone.
Are you okay with that, Mark?
That sounds reasonable.
Okay. All right, are there any more comments from the board before I go to the public? Okay, is there anyone in the public who would like to talk about dredging at the Stone Wharf?
17 people here and no hands up.
Okay, so I assume that people are okay with the direction of that motion. So if there's no further discussion.
Hold on. One hand just came up. I believe it's
Nancy.
Nancy Ernest.
Nancy Olney.
Okay. Go ahead.
I guess I think it's really important that we move forward and as quickly as possible. But I really am struck by Jay Corson's comment that the numbers are not in agreement at the beginning and end of this document that was provided, and they add up, if they do add up to 110% being paid, I think it's important that be clarified before the agreement's entered into. That's just my comment on that.
Just a clarification, Nancy. All we saw was a draft that was full of inaccuracies, and we have not seen the final draft. So until we actually pay the money, we can get out of this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
No more hands.
So, Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
No.
Mr. Dyer?
I want to see the dredging, but not this way.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is a yes. All right. Moving on to the next thing on the agenda. To review a letter regarding revising the floodplain ordinance. And I'm just going to try to frame this into a simple question. Apparently, our floodplain ordinance is overdue for revision. It goes back to when we became a town in 2007. And we have two things. We could either amend it now and add it to this town meeting that's coming up, or we can wait and amend it in the summer or at the next town meeting, because what they told, what the letter said that they wrote to us was that when the maps, the FEMA maps are done showing all the floodplains, that the we'll have to amend, if we would have to amend it anyway. So I guess my suggestion is that we wait and do it all at one time rather than putting together an ordinance and then amending it at the next town meeting. That's just my advice. How do other people feel? Mark?
Would it be appropriate to make a motion to table this item?
Yes.
That's my motion.
Second. Is
there, okay, and David seconded. Any conversation, any communication, I mean conversation from the board? All right, any conversation, any comments?
Bo's got his hand up.
Oh, Bo, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I just want to know if Coastal Waters has looked at this.
I don't know. We can refer it to them. It's one of those things where apparently we have no choice. It's part of the federal flood insurance language. So, but it wouldn't hurt to send it to Coastal Waters. So maybe if Mark, well, we've tabled it though. We're voting to table. So
yeah, no, it was just a question.
I have no problem with having it reviewed by Coastal Waters. It's really more of a planning document having to do with whether or not a property is in the floodplain or not, and it has to do with flood insurance. So the new maps are due to be issued sometime next year. As I don't know if anybody knows about the federal floodplain maps, but I mean, they were supposed to be issued a few years ago and it was delayed. And I think there's some, they are going to be issued this year, and along with the maps being finally issued in the state of Maine, we will have to update our ordinance at that time, even if we update it now, as Donna just explained. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been updated since 2007, and there have been some suggested amendments in 2009 and again in 2015 that were never done. So they're encouraging people to make those updates now. But as Donna said, we would be required to do a final update once the new floodplain maps are issued.
Okay.
All right. So seeing no discussion, and who seconded Mark's motion?
David Hill.
Mm-hmm.
David. Okay. So I'm going to call for a vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Did anybody in the public have their hand up?
I asked them and nobody, I didn't see okay. one.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yes. No, I looked. Thank you. I'm starting to get the idea of how to do this. I've got their names all out on the side now. Okay, so Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Corson?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I can't see anybody. I've sort of been bumped out of this again.
Yeah, we can see you.
Yeah.
Huh.
Don't know what the problem is.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is a yes. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda is to hear an update on the proposed cardboard compactor for the transfer station. We have talked about this numerous times, and I think that I would wondered if someone would make a motion to appropriate $17,900 from the recycling compactor reserve and $9,175 from the building facility reserve so that we can actually order this. And that will include doing the electrical work for upgrading the compact, the service to 400 amps. Bo.
So I called Kim today just to verify my suspicion. The 87 is just to upgrade the service. It's not to plug in the new compactor. So he gave us a quote before to do that, which was like $1,200 or $1,300 or something. I couldn't find the paperwork.
So this isn't a final number then?
So it would be, so $10,000.
So instead of 9,175, it would be.
And add another 1,300 to that.
Add another 1,300 to the 9,000. Well, it was trying to come up. Marjorie, do we actually have enough money to even do this? Is there enough money in that building reserve facility?
Yes.
To add the additional money that Bo's talking about?
Yes.
So it seems like this has gone from 6,000 to how much are we now at?
10.
We're more than 10.
So you're saying that the 8,700 plus what, Bob?
He gave us a quote and he told me over the phone it's going to be around 12 to 13. He couldn't remember the quote, the exact number. So I just added 13, went on the higher spot. And that's to go put the wiring overhead to a disconnect box and all that good stuff that they wanted.
And you say I have this quote somewhere?
That's it. I couldn't find it anywhere.
So we don't have anything. So it's 8,700 plus another 1,300. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're talking about now is 20. So that's 10,000. So we're talking about 28,373 total.
Yes.
Yes. I do apologize. That was my mess up. I overlooked that part.
All right. So what we'd be doing is, so now I guess the motion would be to take, this changes all the numbers.
Why don't you just make a motion to, if somebody wants to make this motion, to order the compactor and appropriate enough funds out of the building's facilities reserve to pay for the upgrade and the electrical work.
I'll make that motion if there's sufficient funding in that line item.
I would say not for the project, not to exceed 29,000. That would be my suggestion.
Number, go 30.
What?
Just go 30.
Yeah, if the money's there.
Okay, so who's making the motion? And
I'm making the motion, but Marjorie's checking to see that the money's in the bank.
There's 25,000, over 25,000 in the building facilities reserve.
Okay.
And where would the rest of it come from? 5,000 from where?
The compactor reserve.
Right. Yeah, 17,000 something in the compactor reserve, and then the rest would come out of the building. I can't remember the name of it.
Facilities.
Thank you.
So if I make a motion to proceed with 25,000 from building facilities and 5,000 from what was the other account? No.
No.
No. 17,900 from the compactor reserve. And well, I don't know what your total is now. You've lost me.
At least below five.
Okay, let's move this along, you guys. How does this motion sound? Something like this, that we authorize the town administrator to purchase the compactor and have the electrical work done that's necessary, and for the total cost of the project not to exceed $30,000, and that the money come from building reserve and the maintenance reserve fund.
That sounds good. You said not to exceed 30. Yeah, that's fine. And then split it up however you want, however Marjorie wants.
Is that David's motion now?
It is.
Now I'll second.
Okay. So is there
Mark's
any
got a question?
Mark has a question? Oh, lost Mark. He disappeared from my screen.
That's okay. Isn't the second part of the motion actually the money coming out of the recycling compactor reserve fund, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you clear on that, Chris?
No.
I thought so. If I may, David.
Go ahead.
I believe that the money for the compactor is coming directly out of a fund that is called the Recycling Compactor Reserve, and that the remaining funds are coming out of the Building Maintenance Reserve. Is that accurate, Marjorie?
Building Facilities Reserve.
I'm sorry. Building Facilities Reserve. Thank you.
Not to exceed 30,000, right?
And I just had a quick question. Is the town crew going to be able to do the trenching with their machines?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So we have a motion by David. Who seconded it?
Bo.
I'll second.
Bo seconded. Okay. Any discussion from the board before I go to the public? Bo.
I just wanted to say I did talk to Lenny's coworker for CMP. He said it would be possible for them to disconnect the power on Monday morning and then reconnect it Wednesday morning. That would be something that they could do if it was they knew far enough ahead.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, do we have any idea when this might all happen? Are we talking about this year, next year, or the year after?
I was waiting for to approach you guys with the money changing. You know, since there's an increase in money, I didn't want to have him, I didn't want scheduling to happen until the money was there.
Okay. So how's this that? Is going to happen right away?
Hopefully.
Okay. Mark?
I just want to say thank you to Bo and Marjorie for making this happen.
Okay. Anyone in the, any attendee who would like to make a comment about the compactor for cardboard for the transfer station? Seeing none, I'm going to do a roll call vote. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill? And I'm a yes, unanimous.
Did you vote, David?
Well, not really. Yes.
Oh. I saw you raise your hand. You're eating at the same time.
That was it, the eating.
Okay, so the next thing quickly is to discuss and approve a schedule for the 2021-22 budget process. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
Donna, you skipped over the Maine Healthy Grant.
Oh, I'm sorry. To keep Maine Healthy Grant, yes. We have a quick presentation by Erica and Eliza Jane to talk about that. But before they start, I received a letter today from Matt Ridgway, and I'd like to just read this before they start. I'd like to express my gratitude to the town for pursuing and overseeing the Keep Maine Healthy grant program on Chibig. In particular, I'd like to thank Eliza Jane Adams for her effort to procure supplies that we will need going forward, including personal protective equipment for our crew, as well as our passengers, help with increased signage and communication, and most recently, assisting in setting up the installation of a barrier system to protect our bus drivers. The time and effort she has put into facilitating this challenging grant has been remarkable, and it has clearly been with the sole purpose of keeping this community as safe as possible during this pandemic. Thanks. Now, we turn it over to Erica and Eliza.
Thank you.
You should.
Thank you. That was lovely, Matt. Thank you.
Ah, so nice. May I share my screen, David?
You should be able to.
Okay, here we go. Great. Okay, can everyone see that? Hmm. That come up clearly?
Yep.
Great. Well, thank you all. We just wanted to, it's 7:03, so we are hoping to do this in 5 minutes or less. We know you've had a lot on the agenda. The Keep Maine Healthy grant, as you know, was granted to the town as part of the Federal CARES Act. And it was initially expired on Halloween, October. It was announced in the summer. It was a reimbursable process, and the cost went from June 9th until October 31st. And then on nearing the last day of the grant, the governor recently announced an extension of it to December 31st. We are coming to you with a report on it because we operated as if the grant and all of its mission and costs had to be complete on October 31st. So this is a report to you, and because of the extension and because of the nature of the reimbursement process, we anticipate giving you a final report in January. So there's only 6 slides and we're only doing 2. I'm just going to give you the highlights. The grant was initially designed to provide public education during the pandemic on COVID-19. As well as provide physical protection to the public. And that is what we focused on. So the top accomplishments, I'm gonna read them because I apologize you didn't get these ahead of time. We were still, this is hot off the presses. We focused on public education to the island about COVID-19 developments in Maine as well as nationally. PPE was given to the island's front line, as Matt's letter indicated, to the rescue, EMS, CTC, and the commons. Public signs were made for the wharves and the community locations, the store, the transfer station. Emergency alert communication system was developed. It's in the process, we'll be rolling that out in 2 weeks. A welcome brochure was created for visitors on all our COVID processes. We designed, I think you've heard a couple times about the teen COVID ambassadors over the summer, and they provided health education for youth and families at the playground at the school, and also provided support to 2 after school programs. You'll be hearing much more about this in the next 48 hours, but we are doing KN95 masks and glove outreach for all islanders. The campaign is called Spread Thanks, Not COVID. And the idea behind that was actually anticipating an outbreak. And Eliza Jane's going to talk a little bit more about that, that the grant was given for public education on COVID as well as protection during the pandemic. But we also spent a lot of time thinking, anticipating the worst case scenario. So the way that we moved ahead, hopefully will prepare us for the worst. And as you've all seen in the news, we are in the midst of a spike that Maine hasn't seen. While we've relatively kept our numbers down, and done a good job. We are absolutely in the midst of community spread and a spike right now, and a lot of the work that we've done with the procurement and planning tried to anticipate that. And the KN95 masks that go out in the next couple of days are absolutely connected to that, giving us the safest form of mask, in addition to what we've already been doing. The food pantry was given a generator for refrigeration. So that was enhancing an already existing independent program. The same thing for the Commons. The Commons is already working on their, has a very sophisticated and thorough COVID-19 pandemic response. This grant allowed us to support one more piece of the puzzle, which was to create a safe family visiting room for the winter. And then the other part that'll be rolling out is a public hand sanitizing stations. And Eliza Jane will talk a little bit more about that. And then the final part that is in still in the works is to provide, we're looking into financial support for the council's youth and adult flu clinics. So those are some of the top line highlights. And then I'm gonna have Eliza Jane go more specifically into the PPE. But I'm just gonna go through the, each of you has this presentation. This slide tells a little bit more detail on the eight areas: community alert, ongoing education, supporting the COVID testing team, which again is an independent group, but we spent a lot of time using their expertise as medical professionals to make sure our messages were accurate. This is more about the outbreak, that we were looking at anticipated needs as well as existing needs. And again, moving from living with the pandemic versus living in, if it became a crisis on the island. This, I'm gonna turn it over to Eliza Jane to talk specifically about, she is the procurement queen, what she's done working with the nonprofits to make a list of procurement on PPE.
Thank you, Eric. And really, I wanna thank the Board of Selectmen and thank Donna and David. And I really wanna thank Marjorie and the people that work in the office, Chris and Victoria, for being so helpful and patient. Because one of the things we turned to when the funds became available was making sure that purchases were made so that if a COVID outbreak happens on this island, that we will certainly be able to accommodate that. And that's at the town level and all of our nonprofits. So really, we have a whole lot of masks available, including those disposables, KN95 and N95s, which are reserved for rescue and the Commons, and some of them for staff of the CTC if they're transporting a COVID. But if you look at this list, all of these are things that I really wish we'd been able to do this back in June, but here we're going to be ready now and in the future. So I really feel like we've been able to equip our island with skills that are needed, as well as supporting our nonprofits, because our nonprofits have really taken a blow with the costs associated with handling the public and keeping things clean and using masks. So you can ask me any question about these things on the list. I hope they themselves, everything is really geared towards benefiting the island. And one of our projects that we're working on right now is that if we can get a KN95, which is a publicly available version of the N95, which is what healthcare workers, if we can get a KN95 into every household for every person, and we're working on doing this hopefully this weekend, then everyone will have that extra layer of protection, because it's a mask that not only protects others from us, which is your traditional cotton or disposable mask, but each of us from other people. So as we move indoors, as we're in congested areas, these are going to really give our island an increased layer of protection. So that's the last project that we're working on right now, is trying to get those KN95. So our plan is to deliver them to every house. We'll also have them available if people want more. But anyway, you'll hear a lot more about it. Listen, I'm just really pleased that while there was some rocky times in the beginning with this pandemic, we had so many unknowns, people were fearful, didn't know, you know, all of the information was changing so quickly. This really gave us a way to prepare for really however long this pandemic impacts our island. So thank you all very much. I would take any questions.
We have a question, I think, from maybe Amy Rich, but I'm going to allow to talk. Go ahead, Amy, or whoever you are, I'm sorry. There.
Can you stop sharing the screen so we can see?
I can't do that.
Hi, can anybody hear me?
There's Amy.
Hi there. I don't see you, but I'm sure you can all hear me. I just wanted to take a minute to thank everybody involved in this Keep Maine Healthy grant. We were so happy to be looked at and considered for some of these funds. As you all know, I've been working at the Island Commons since 2007. We've had our doors closed since the 13th. We have had the state come down on June 10th to say we can finally do outdoor visits. Now it's getting super cold and we're so excited that our monitor just arrived today. We will be using it in the Red Studio. The Red Studio will not be open for anything else during the entire time it's needed for winter visits. I had no idea myself what the effects of isolation was on elders until I saw it firsthand. And you cannot imagine what a 5 or 10 minute new face from their family is doing to boost morale, to keep them happy and healthy. And I just wanted to extend my thanks personally to being considered for this and being able to make our Red Studio morph it from a store into a safe, warm, happy place where families will be able to visit. I can't go into how expensive it's been with equipment. I think what kind of says it all is, I've been using this phrase a lot, we've been open 24 hours a day for 21 years straight in these last 9 months. We've had scares that we have to quarantine into our PPE. And I don't think, I wasn't prepared that when someone goes into a room, after you gear up, you have to throw out whatever you had on until the next time you go in. It is not unusual for us to go through 30 gowns in a day, 30 gloves. So we're just super happy. I have my board president on, Susan Stranahan, as support, and Nancy Oley, my right-hand person that does so much. Thanks for thinking of us. It's a real honor. I don't know if they want to say anything else, but that's all.
Hey. Thank you very much, Amy. I think that giving protection and support to places like the Commons, that has, I was blown away by the expense that's been incurred at the Commons taking care of our elders, especially if someone had to be in quarantine with the materials. And the same is true talking with Matt at CTC. I think those are our two places where we've had a tremendous impact in cost. And I think the purchases of this grant will be able to do a lot better protection. So thank you, Amy, and thank you all very much.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to ask a question or make a comment?
Yeah, Nancy does.
Nancy only.
Okay.
I'd just like to say thank you also. And aside from the cost, which has been considerable, one of the hardest things to see at the Commons is we have been so lively in the last few years with our gatherings and lots of things to go on and support those residents who are living there and make them feel like they're still part of the community. Never expected to have something like COVID-19 fraying the bonds that those people have with their families here and with the community at large. So having this monitor become available to us now, right when it's becoming impossible for them to be visiting with friends and family outside, brief visits, really is going to help them to get through the winter months and to maintain those bonds. And really very thankful for that.
Thank you, Nancy. Susan Stranahan.
Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't say anything better than Nancy and Amy have. Our residents are our highest priority, and this will be a wonderful thing for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan. Anyone else have a comment or a question? Mark.
I just want to thank Erica and Liza Jane, Donna, David, Pastor, Melissa, anybody else, everyone else that has worked on this. I think that the work has been outstanding for the benefit of this community. Thank you very much.
And I just wanted to add to the presentation, the great presentation that Erica and Liza Jane made. In addition to the generator for the food pantry, we were also allowed to donate $4,500 to, or $4,200 to the food pantry to enhance the offerings at the food pantry. And so that was another, they've really thought outside the box on this, and I think they still have a little money left over, and we'll see where it goes. And thank you both so much, because I have to say, they were both spending as much time as they are now before they ever got these jobs. And they have put in an incredible amount of volunteer time. And I think Marjorie can attest, especially with Erica's communication skills. Erica has helped us get through this whole with the proper messaging. She makes sure that we can't just like speak off the cuff, that we have to have data. We're a data-driven organization. So thank you to both of you.
And if I could add to that, it's not just volunteer time, it's creativity. I think these people have come up with some really innovative to the point where we're being recognized by the state of Maine as being innovative. Not only with our lobster costume, but with the idea of giving masks to everybody. So, good work.
Thanks.
Don and I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, we had everything to do with it. Hey, listen, it's been our pleasure and our honor. I think I'm speaking on behalf of both Eric and I. Listen, this KN95 mask thing is going to be a best practice of any community in Maine. I am completely convinced of that. However, our little photo op that was going to happen with Dr. Shaw on Thursday is canceled because of the COVID rate. But at some point, we'll have a couple of our teens up in Augusta to have their photo taken with Dr. Shaw. But unfortunately, given the present state of affairs, that won't be happening. But there you have it. So thank you, everyone. I do think we'll be able to turn a corner with the way things are now. And thank you all very much.
Erica, did you have something you wanted to say, or are you just waving bye?
We're just waving goodbye. Thank you all so much. It's been an incredible team effort with every citizen and every part of the island. Every organization, every family, every home has really made sacrifices and did the best they could and been, you know, in it together. I think that it shows the strength of this incredible community too. And we have a long winter ahead. So the goodwill and the hard work that everyone's done is going to, we need to keep it going too. So I'm happy to be a part of that. Thank you all.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on because we still have several items on the agenda. The next is to discuss and approve a schedule for the 2021-2022 budget process. I think that, it's fine to just say that this is a draft, we're going to accept the draft, and we can get into the details at a later date if we want to change things. One of the things that I noted was I think we should meet with the school sooner than, like, maybe in early January, maybe the 13th. Chris?
In past years, we have had two meetings with the school, typically scheduled, and last year they asked not to meet so early, but and just have one meeting. So that's why that was changed.
But it ended up that we were, that it makes it difficult for the town not to have an idea of where the school's going until, you know, we've already finished the budget. So we can talk more about that later.
Okay.
One of the things that I would like to bring up, I would like to nominate Mark Dyer to be the budget chair. I think we need to have somebody to be kind of the budget wrangler and to look at this agenda. And so I guess I would like to appoint him if there is, if no one else has any concerns about that. And I think we need to figure out how to split up some of the work here. I want to thank Bo for what he's been doing with the compactor, and Jay with that tax-acquired property. David, you know, everybody's doing something, and it really is helpful. And so I did speak to Mark ahead of time. I haven't put him on the spot here, but to ask if he would do that. Anybody have Mark?
First of all, I'd like to make a motion to accept this draft 2021-2022 budget schedule as presented for the time being.
I second.
All right, any discussion by the board? Remember, this is a work in progress and it can be changed. Mark?
I would suggest maybe at the first meeting, which is, if we hold it, which is on here on January 6th, which is to discuss budget goals and priorities. I think we could use part of that meeting to bring our capital plan document with us and make sure that we're going to do the capital budget process the way we want to do it, if we're doing it differently than we have in years past.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. All right. Anyone in the, anyone want to second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. David seconded it. Anyone on the board want to talk about it? Anyone in the, any attendees would they like to talk about it?
I see none.
Okay. So seeing none, let's do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
He's muted.
I think he's muted.
You're muted, Jay.
There we go. Sorry. Let me just clarify one thing, if I might. This is basically what we're approving is the provisional plan as laid out on the paper that was in our packets.
Right. That's a working document.
That's fine, yes.
Okay. Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
And Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes. Okay, so the next item on the agenda, we had a request from the fire chief, or Marjorie had a request to include building an addition to the firehouse in the capital plan. And before I turn it over to Ralph, I think I saw Ralph's on here. I guess my own personal feeling is that this should be part of a bigger discussion with the question of the new town hall and what we're going to do with the, if we do build a town hall and how we might use some of the existing space that is in the present town hall. But Ralph, I turn it over to you.
You're muted.
You're muted, Ralph.
Ralph, click on the lower left-hand corner.
Maybe he's not there.
No, he's there.
No, I meant maybe he isn't. No, it's not turned on, but he might not be there.
Well, I
Ralph,
can't.
If you're having trouble getting on, call 846-5237. 846-5237. And we can add this to an agenda at a later time. It's not time sensitive, but if you're.
Well, he's okay, gone now.
He disappeared. So maybe he wasn't, he had gone someplace. All right. So we're going to, let's just skip that until we can bring it up another day. All right. The next question is to hear a request to eliminate restrictions regarding overnight parking at the Stone Wharf. And this came in one of our meetings under public discussion. And Jeff Putnam asked us to put this on the agenda. And so I see Jeff is on here. I'd like to start the discussion with Jeff explaining his rationale. And then I'm going to turn it over to the board for comments and then back to the public.
Oh, Ralph's back. I think we can return to Ralph after we take care of this item.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, yes. I can hear you, Jeff.
Okay, hi there. I just wanted to say thank you for putting this on the agenda, and also thanks for putting the parking ordinance in the packet. It's been a while since I looked at that. I kind of forgot about it. When I first requested this, it was from the perspective of, you know, leaving my truck there while I'm out lobstering offshore for a couple of days. And looking at the parking ordinance, it specifically mentions its purpose of protecting Chibig's maritime heritage, or I forget the exact wording, but something like that. So from that perspective, I think it's hard to justify ticketing a fisherman while they're doing exactly that, protecting the Chibig fishing heritage. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Gennaro has been really fair because he sees my truck there at times in the winter and knows it's, you know, when it's there, it's usually because I'm out fishing. But I'm also not requesting that a fisherman just gets any special, you know, parking treatment down there. But simply the fact is, I think that there's no need to enforce overnight parking or 24-hour parking at the Stone Pier right now, just because there's so much availability. Even this morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, with all the spots blocked off for the you know, November and June area, you could pretty much park anywhere you wanted. I just think that this would be a good winter to do a trial run on allowing more than 24-hour parking. And, you know, there's many folks that just like to get away for the weekends or away for a couple days, and I don't see the need for the town to endorse ticketing them during the winter. We're all just trying to keep a little sanity these days, and getting away for a couple days can be helpful. So again, my request is that you suspend the enforcement of the 24-hour parking time at the Stone Pier. And thank you for considering it.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm gonna start off by giving some background about why this happened in the first place, why we started chalking tires. And it goes back to the 1980s and the 1990s. And we have a limited resource at the Stone Wharf. And people were leaving their cars there for weeks at a time. And even though there's not much of a need at 3 a.m., there is a need at 3 p.m. And I guess I'm just speaking for myself, that I think that we live in a small community And I would be more than happy to come and pick up anybody's car that is at the wharf, and so that they don't get a ticket. I think other people would be. Bruce and Cindy have a business to actually do this. And we all, most of us, have other people who live in our homes and can drop us off and pick us up. Or we have neighbors who are willing to do that. And in the winter, when people do leave their vehicles there, and you might only leave yours for 1 or 2 days, other people may leave them for long periods of time, and they're in the way of the snowplow. They're parked in there so that the people who really do need to go to town and come back the same day don't have a parking space. And I understand that people like convenience, but we tried that. We tried it for 30 something years, and it was a disaster. And that's all I'm going to say on this, that I just really feel like if people need rides, then ask their friends, ask their neighbors. That's what we do. And either that or leave it there and get a ticket. But I guess I don't see it as being a community need. And that's just me as an individual, not as the chairman of this board. Anyone on the board who wants to speak before we put it out to the community? Jay?
Maybe one thing we might want to think about is having some kind of, I don't know, sticker or placard for people that have a commercial issue, like Jeff's talking about. They could go to town hall and get some kind of a handicap sticker kind of thing. And we're not talking about a whole bunch of people. And maybe we could do something if people wanted to. We're going to be going away for a couple of days. First of all, I agree with what you say about, Cindy's got a business moving cars. Karen and I drive each other. We don't leave cars. We leave one car at the most down there, even though two of us may be going at different times. But we drive each other back and forth. Most people could do that. But for those who that's an issue with, because they need to leave a car there for a couple of days, they could come to town hall, get a placard, sticker, whatever, that says, I'm a fisherman, I'll be back on. Something like that. And then they wouldn't get ticketed.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board have a comment?
David has his hand up.
Oh, I can't see David.
Well, I'm here. I must be behind your list of participants. I just wanted a point of clarification here. The agenda item says restrictions regarding overnight parking at the Stone Wharf. I just wanted to make it clear that currently it's a 24-hour period that you can be at the Stone Wharf, and that would include overnight. And I know that's not what Jeff is asking for. He's asking for an extension of that. But I just wanted to, as I say, make it clear that we're not going to be talking about eliminating or changing overnight parking. Merely.
No, you're right. Thank you, David. Thanks for that clarification. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak to this?
Okay, we've got
Ralph.
Hi, this is actually Kim at the moment. I just want to say that if you open it up for businesses or professional people, that you want to remember, we have roughly 30 contractors that come over every day or every other day or whatever to work, and who all park their car elsewhere on the island because there's not parking at the Stone Pier. But if you were to open it up, they would all be leaving their cars at the Stone Pier.
Thank you, Kim. That's a good point. Anyone else from the public? Vika.
Hi.
Hi there.
As a reminder that if this is something you guys do decide to do, maybe select a designated area where that would all happen, because you got to consider plowing in the wintertime. While we might not have a lot of people that are park in there, if the cars are sporadically parked there for a night or two, that might create a little bit more of a difficulty for the crew when it comes to winter plowing. So if you do go with this, maybe have a designated area where all those cars would go to make the process a little bit easier for the plowing crew.
Thank you, Vika. And before I call on Suzanne Ruse next, but before I call on her, when we designate an area for people to be parking overnight, that means that people who are going to town and coming back don't have a place to park. So again, this is an issue. Suzanne.
Hi, actually it's Aaron. We're here together watching this. And I think, you know, Vika's point is excellent. And it's not that people couldn't park in a reserved area knowing that they were going away for the weekend, but we often do, and I know other folks do as well. And it seems to make sense that residents should have the option of being gone for the weekend, even though the CTC schedule is tightened up dramatically to limit the options there. But at the same time, it would be nice if people could go for a couple of days and not worry about someone else coming down and moving their car, which really doesn't do anything other than move a chest from one side of the board to the other. So why don't we allow residents, and I'm not, you know, that's just residents, not contractors. They don't pay taxes here, but the residents do. And it seems reasonable that if there's an area that people go away for the weekend, they should be able to park there. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. Anyone else? Jeff, do you have a hand up?
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I'm not even saying that you would do this forever, but I'm saying if ever there is a winter to try it, it's a winter like this one where there's so few people traveling. The Stone Pier just isn't, we haven't had the parking issue this year. You know, a year from now, we may be back into the situation we were in a year ago, where there is more of a parking issue. And you may decide after this year that people did take advantage of it and it's not something you want to do again next year. But just why not give it a shot this year and, you know, tackle the future next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board want to comment on this? Bo.
I kind of what Aaron was saying. I mean, I'd like to see us try to entertain something from December 1st till April 1st, probably, because I'd do it after Thanksgiving, definitely. Anytime before that, it would be difficult. But so December 1st till April 1st, allow Island residents to be able to park longer than 24 hours.
I think that you would need to have some kind of a limit. And I guess I still don't understand. When I suggested that I would come and move your car, I didn't mean move it from one side to the other, because to me that is duplicitous. And people who are doing that, that's just as bad as if you're parking there all the time, because you're still taking up the space from the person who needs to go to town. My point was take it to somebody's house and then bring it back for them. That's what the purpose of the ordinance was. And I guess I don't understand how many, I know there are a few people on this island who have no one who maybe would be willing to take them. But when you have two people who drive in the same house, I guess I don't understand why you would need to leave a vehicle on the wharf. And that's how I feel about it. But is there anybody who wants to make a motion to do anything here? Or do you want to think about it and then come back with another, with a specific proposal? Because this probably needs to be thought about. Courtney and then Mark.
I wish that, you know, we had more time to do some of the things that we talk about doing in this town. And one of them is widening or looking at widening the Stone Wharf Road and possibly talking with the golf course about the piece of property out there in the bittersweet with the shed that's falling down. The reason I bring up that specific piece of property is I think that probably has a small amount of potential for exactly what we may be talking about here. I know that we don't own it. I know that we haven't talked to the golf course about it. I still think we can. I still think we should at least try to do that. And that piece of property, even if it was just cleared out and left rough dirt, could be considered, in my opinion, for a place for some of this activity for a defined amount of time. But we didn't get it done, and having not getting that done, I'm just afraid if we, you know, say to people you can park down there for 2, 3, 4, 5 days, it's going to be hard to, you know, depend on where people are going to park unless we make a very specific place for 5 cars, and that's the only place first come, first serve. And then it's going to be a little difficult to get the snow plowing done if the vehicles are in there during a snowstorm. So I'm not sure that's a great move at this point.
Courtney.
Yeah, this is actually Justin here, but we're tuned in, and all great points. We would maybe entertain, you know, what about a 48-hour trial period just to try it? Again, it's a minor issue down there, but I think having an option to be able to stay over for a few nights without making a large impact and causing a lot of problems would be a good option for us.
Thank you, Justin. Jackie Trask?
A comment, and that is that if you adopt, an extension of parking as is being discussed, that those persons, or could be any of us, if it's adopted, not park, in the spaces closer to the desired spaces that are closer to the boat.
Okay, now I can't see David Hill again. So I don't think that we're ready to actually, we don't have a specific plan, and people have come up with some ideas. I guess maybe what we need to do is we could bring it up in another agenda later on. I would like to have somebody come up with something specific to react to. And I guess my question is to some of the people who have called in tonight, do you not have anybody who can, what do you do now when you want to go to town? I mean, I know if Doug and I go someplace, we call Binky and Lynn and they give us a ride. Not that I'm suggesting that they have their own business of going and giving people rides, but when my brother was here, living here, we would take them or they would take us. And I guess we live in a small community, and we have to look out for each other. And I guess, is this about convenience or is it about necessity? And I think that's what we need to think about. Are we talking about something that's for convenience or necessity? Mark, and then I guess it's Kim for Ralph.
I'm not going to beleaguer the point, but I would consider some sort of a trial down there of the very upper dirt part as you drive down on the right, with X amount of spaces for a period of defined time of calendar months, and like Justin Dowdy suggested, maybe a 48-hour to see how it might work. I would consider that if somebody would consider a specific. I mean, I'm thinking five or six spots beginning right when you first hit the dirt parking area on your right, residents only, 48 hours, first come, first serve, or you go to the town office and get some sort of a placard like Jay Corson was suggesting. I would consider testing that out for this winter to see if it works or not.
What would happen if, I mean, if you, so you're suggesting that the places be designated for just 48-hour parking? What about the person who wants to go to town and there's no parking spaces? Do they not go into that space? And then the person comes down to go away, say you're going to Sugarloaf for the weekend, and you go down to go, and none of those spaces are available. There's no place to go. You haven't made a plan for your family, you know, for somebody to come and get the car.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to think about, and I think that we've started it, and, you know, if somebody wants to kind of flesh something out so we have something to work from, I think it's, you know, then we have something to talk about. Kim?
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Parking is a long-standing issue that we've had for years, but before you guys make any decision on changing anything, you should go down in the middle of the day every day and look, because all those spaces are taken, all the dirt spaces are taken, and people are still parking on the road, even though there's less people going. Everyone goes one person to a car, basically. So there's still tight parking most days. Just like Sunday, there was spaces left over, but that was it. So, but there weren't many spaces left over. I mean, you really gotta see how much of the parking is left over before you designate five spaces that nobody can use for over weekend parking. That's just my opinion.
Okay, so I guess just to end this, because we have more to do tonight and I don't wanna just drop it because people have some interest in it, but we really, before we ever do anything like this, we've really gotta vet it. And let's say, look at the agenda for either the next meeting or the meeting after that. And if any of the people who are interested in this want to draft something and send us some examples of how they think it might work, but think about the unintended consequences while you're doing it for whatever you come up with for a plan. And I'm not saying we'll do it or we won't do it, but we certainly will talk about it. But right now it's everybody's throwing out good ideas, but I don't think we're in a position to actually vote on anything or to make a motion. Am I wrong? Is there anybody on the board who wants to make a motion to do something tonight? Mark?
No, but I'd like to thank the people for bringing it to us. And I'm serious about at some point trying to get back on track with the stone wash situation. And I don't mean structurally and building it up and spending $6 million. I mean looking at the Stone Wharf Road and possibly revisiting a discussion of the golf course.
Yeah, I think that certainly does make a lot of sense. There's a lot of moving parts. So Jeff, if you guys want to get together and come up with something to try to figure out how to make something work, but in the meantime, I hope you all have family that can give you rides to the boat, because we're not doing this to try to raise money for the town. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that this, you know, this is not what this was started for. It was started because we had a major problem and we didn't know how to fix it. All right, let's, moving on. This should be relatively easy. Could we have a motion to authorize the town administrator to sign an agreement with CMP to replace all streetlights with LED bulbs?
Excuse me, Donna, before we move on to that, I think we have to back up in the agenda and hear what our fire chief has to say about the...
He's not on there. Kim is.
Maybe Ralph is there with Kim. I don't know.
Oh, is Ralph there, Kim?
Yeah, I live in the same house. I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. We tried to get you before and we couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. I thought maybe she was just there. Okay. No, yeah.
Bad internet connection. That's all.
Oh, okay. So Ralph, going back, So you wanted to talk about including building an addition to the firehouse in the capital plan. And this would be just a preliminary discussion tonight. One of the things, I don't know if you could hear when we introduced it before, I guess my thought was that this is part of a bigger discussion as to what we do with the building, if we build a new town hall. And but anyway, what's your thoughts? We're happy to hear them out.
Well, my thought is we've been talking about this for 13 years. This was in the capital plan when we were part of Cumberland. We kept that capital plan, and I presented it in 2008 when I became the chief, and we've talked about it numerous times. And actually, the three times that I met with the capital plan committee that Selectman had, it was in there, and we haven't done anything. It's been a stalemate. We haven't got any money in the capital plan for it, and I was just wondering if you had discussed it at all. The decon room was actually in the addition. It has taken on a little different look since the COVID situation came up, but this has been discussed for 12 plus years, and we haven't done anything. So that was the first thing I wanted to talk about, so we could throw that around if you'd like, or we can table it and push it off longer. But we need to, at some point, move forward with this.
What would go in that, what you're talking about, what would go in that extra bay?
That would be an ambulance and a truck. And we'd probably have to make a little addition. I mean, you asked for I had a proposal, and you wanted a detailed quote. I gave you a detailed quote right down to the last boat ride for the contract that's coming over. Last year, was it? Mark helped with that. Alex Baxbaum gave the quote. And we're still here at the starting line. We haven't done anything. And I'd like to move forward with this at some point.
I personally haven't seen it because I wasn't on the board at the time, but it must be someplace in the building. I think the problem that we have, Ralph, in this community is that we've got so many needs and only so much money. And so I don't think it's that people, you know, are just blowing it off. I think it's that, I mean, I can't speak to that. I wasn't on the board for the last 4 years, so I don't know what happened in that time. But I think we have, again, it's just like with the parking, when we talk about needs and wants, you know, what is, and it goes townwide, and that's why we look at the capital budget within the context of everything that the town needs. We're, right now, we're in this with the dredging, and, you know, we're going to have to come up with $400,000.
Yes, I understand that, Donna, but this has literally been going on for 12 years. We've discussed it in detail, and you have been on the board when we've been discussing this in the past. And I don't want to point fingers, but we need to have some sort of a plan. We've talked about it, but we've done nothing. We haven't moved forward. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the next item that I'm bringing up. But I'd like to have some idea of if there's any possibility that we're ever going to get a addition onto the station, a decon room. The need hasn't gone away. And just think about, at some point, you know, Eliza Jane was just talking about, you know, the possibility of this whole COVID thing blowing up again this winter. And it definitely could. And that means there's going to be extra strain on the rescue. We're going to have to be stripping down to our underwear outside after a call. And it's not really that conducive in the weather that we have now. But so that puts a strain on a very strained EMS department. So it would be nice, I think, for myself and the rest of the people of the department, if we had some idea of where we're moving forward, or if we aren't moving forward. I mean, we, like I said, we've been talking about this for 12 years.
And I guess my guess would be that up until this point, if it didn't actually get funded, is that there were other needs that maybe the department had, like in ambulances and fire trucks and towers. I mean, there are other things that we have funded over the time, but we certainly are hearing what you're saying, and we are going to be starting the budget process in January, and we certainly will talk about it, and whether or not we can actually come up with any money to start funding something like this. We really need it. We have so many needs in the town, we need to start prioritizing and having a needs assessment about what really what's essential and what would be great to have.
Yep. No, I think that I think over the last 9 months, I think we've as a country have looked at what's essential, and I think fire and EMS are pretty high up there, and I hope that plays into your thought process. That's all. The other thing that I wanted to just throw out there so that you all can be thinking about it is, I know Doug Ross brought it up back when we met at the station, and I brought it up numerous times over the last 12 years, is a dwindling EMS division. We have less and less people willing to volunteer to be firefighters and EMTs. And have you given any thought to, in years to come, that we may need to have hire an EMT to do a per diem on the island, and that's going to be significant cost, and they're going to need some place to stay. So that kind of plays into the addition. I mean, that's going to be a real significant cost if we was to have to pay somebody one position 24 hours a day to be an EMT on Chibig. That's a lot of money. You'd be tripling the operating budget just for that one position.
And I agree with you that it's something that we need to be thinking about. And I guess that's why I think any discussion about what we do with the firehouse needs to be in that context of what are we going to do with the building if we build a new town hall. And, you know, that may solve some of your problems. But I know that we'll keep you in the loop about when we have the capital discussion. The more specifics that we have, the better. And it's important that we know that the department is behind the project.
I'm not even sure what you mean there, Donna. The department behind what project? We obviously, the EMTs are behind a decon room.
We went that route, Ralph, and when push came to shove, that wasn't the case.
I completely disagree with you, Donna.
I had people who came to me who they did not want to put any money into it. They felt that it wasn't necessary. But we did the best we could with that, Ralph. I don't want to go back there, but
no,
we tried.
Then don't go back there, but we need to move forward. And like I said, we've been talking about it for 12 years, and we've missed an opportunity for a huge grant for a new fire station and town office. It would have been 100% grant back in 2007 and 8 that nobody wanted to move forward on. We've missed opportunities, and I don't want to. We need to have a plan so if opportunities come up, we can actually move forward on them in the future.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. All right. Thank you, Ralph. And we'll keep you in the loop when we have our capital discussions in January. Did we lose Mark?
I think so.
Is there anyone in the audience who wanted to comment on the fire addition to the firehouse? I'm sorry, I didn't ask. Mark Dyer.
Yeah. Let me promote him to panelists, get him back in the mix here. Wait a minute. I think I just promoted Beth Wiles by mistake. I apologize. Beth, I'm going to demote you until later.
Oh, Mark's back, I think. I can see his name up there.
Yeah.
Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm back. The laptop crashed on it, so I'm on my phone.
Okay, that's great. I mean, it's not great that it crashed, but I'm glad you're back. Okay, so no one else had a comment about the firehouse. So that's really the end of our regular agenda, with the exception of communications.
No, now we have the LED bulbs.
Oh, well, that's right. I started to do that, and then we went back to Ralph. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
So let's make this. So the background to this is that the CMP will put in LED bulbs all over the island. It will save us $2,500 a year. There's no cost to the town. And all we have to do is authorize the town administrator to sign an agreement with CMP to replace all streetlights with LED bulbs.
So moved.
Is there someone who would like to move that?
I just
David
did.
Moved it. Second?
I second.
And both second it. Is there any discussion? Jay?
When I read the contract, it's a 15-year contract. And so my question is, and at some point here, they start to talk about where the town takes on certain responsibilities. Question is the bulbs don't last 15 years. Do they replace the bulbs? And so
they've been replacing, they replace at no charge the bulbs in regular streetlights. So I would just assume that would be the same. They would continue to do that.
I just think I want to see that with more clarity in a contract we sign.
Marjorie, do you have any input on that?
You're muted.
No, I'm sorry. I can call and get some clarification if you like.
Hey, Jay. In the first term and conditions, it says if any lights fail to operate, CMP will repair and replace it within a reasonable time after the customer gives CMP notice of the light failure.
Right, but bear with me. I'm looking for the particular. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Oh, did you find any typos in that message?
No, I didn't actually. Not in this one.
Anyway, the other question I had was, they talk about underground service provisions. I wasn't sure what that was about. I mean, if they're just replacing the streetlights with LEDs and they're going to replace them as they go down, that's terrific.
I have a suggestion. Why don't you talk to Marjorie tomorrow, find out the contact number of CMP, the contact person, and call and ask the questions.
I'm not around tomorrow. I have to be in town, but I can do it on Friday.
Okay, and so if we could have a motion authorize.
There's already a motion and a second.
Okay, so we've already got it, and we can have it contingent upon Jay getting answers to his question, so we don't have to come back and put it on the agenda again.
I'll add that to my motion. Bo has to add it to the second.
I'll add it.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Jay?
Yeah, so my assignment's to call CMP and satisfy my questions.
Yes, and if you're not satisfied, let us know, and we'll bring it back up in another agenda.
Okay.
All right, anyone have a question in the audience about the LED lights for the streetlights on Chabig?
Our dwindling audience has no questions.
Okay, anyone in the on the board? All right, seeing none. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
I guess I have to.
All right, Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is a yes, it's unanimous. And so Jay, you'll get in touch with Marjorie when you get your questions answered.
I will do.
Thank you so much. All right, so now we had a few bits of correspondence that Marjorie shared with me. She could give some more information if you want it. The first is from the county manager from Cumberland County. It was a letter officially stating the county will postpone the county's transition from a calendar year to a fiscal year budget, and that we already know about that. The next was Connect Maine, which was the announcement of broadband grants. And that's something that we could put on a future agenda if it's something people are interested in. Maine Public's request for $100 donation. Have we ever given to Maine Public before?
I can't
what
recall.
What is Maine Public?
It's the radio, television, communication.
Oh, NPR.
Yeah. Anybody can stop me. Anybody want to make a motion to give them $100? Okay, seeing none. Maine Department of Marine Resources is going to be an aquaculture public scoping session November 12th via Zoom for Summit Point, LLC. Now it doesn't say where is the aquaculture?
It's a Zoom.
All right, where's the lease? I mean, where in the face of the earth are they gonna put it?
One track to the north of Lower Basket Ledge and one track to the south of Lower Basket Ledge, Casco Bay, towns of Chabig Island and Cumberland, 53.38 acres.
Wow, that's a big area. Do we, Marjorie, can you send that on to the Coastal Waters people?
I've done that.
Oh, you've already done it? Okay. And I'm sure Ernie Burgess knows about it, but could you give him a call? And then the final communication is for the CTC parking permit application for the new town administrator. So I assume that application is in the town office,
right?
Dolly.
I just wondered if I should, I just wondered what to apply for. Would that be a cousin?
I would say, I talked to Carol Sebastiansky. I think it would be the Cousins Island not the weekday worker. Yeah, I guess it would be the weekday worker, but with a caveat that they might have to be here on weekends from time to time. So maybe we wait until we get the new town administrator and then we probably need to write a letter with that or something. How about if I talk to you, Marjorie, and we'll just, you know, maybe make a memo attached to it of what our need would be?
Yeah.
Donna?
Yes.
Would you send me a copy of that letter from Connect Maine about the broadband?
I don't have the letter. Marjorie does. I just had the list. I'll see what had come.
Marjorie's shaking her head. She'll do it.
Yeah. Anyone else have any communication?
I just had a question about the parking at the parking lot. I mean, why is that? I mean, why are we paying CTC $800 to park there?
Oh, we pay, we have like four slots that we pay $800 a year for.
For a parking area that we own.
We don't own it, the state of Maine does.
But we hold the lease.
Yeah, I thought the town of Chebig owned the lease for it.
We do have a, we lease it from the state, yes.
And then the, and then CTC, I'm sorry, I just want to get this right, and CTC leases it for us?
Yes.
And then we pay CTC to park in it. I guess I'm sorry. I don't. To me, that's. I don't know.
Well, they lease it to us for $1 a year.
So they pay us $1, and then the town pays them four times eight. So I don't know. That math doesn't add up. Sorry, it just. My personal opinion. I don't know what was done prior to me.
I can tell you going back 25 years that that the town has been buying a parking space there. The state has owned it since 2000, and the town has bought parking spaces. Or maybe it was 1998. Mike, do you remember when the town bought that? The state bought that.
It's around 98, 99.
And so maybe that's something we
99.
Yeah.
So maybe we have, you know, a discussion about that at some other point. But right now, the question was, what kind of parking sticker do we want to have? You know, and if we want a meeting with CTC, they've asked to have meetings with us. Maybe that's something we could talk about.
I will
say right now, I think
CTC might be out of business in a few months if things improve and they don't get some more help. It's always been a kind of a, you know, run off the back of your hand kind of operation. So it's all, that's been the town's contribution, so to speak.
Anybody else have anything that they want to say about the parking space? They did tell us that the new town administrator could have a space in the Blanchard lot. So
that was nice, you know, of him.
Could I say something, Donna?
Yes.
I'm getting really exhausted with the negativity coming from this board back toward that company. If we have issues with the transportation company, then we should request to sit down and talk about those issues. You can mix up money any way you want to mix it up. There's maintenance that does go on over in a parking lot, even a dirt one. There's snow plowing, there's fence maintenance, there's tree maintenance, and there's grading, and there's all kinds of stuff. So if you want to gripe about $700 or $800 or $2,500, which is four times that amount, whatever it is, that's fine. But you can mix the money up any way you want to mix it up. But if you just transfer it from this division over to that division, it's called cost shifting. Governor LePage was a pro at that. He didn't save the state any money at all. As a matter of fact, you can end up costing your community and your residents more money with increased boat fares and parking numbers. So let's be careful with our comments and our colorful little additions on the public screen back towards a company that has served this community well for a long time. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for that comment. And you know, and I have to kind of, I'm going to back Mark up on this because I think that it all, everything comes out of our pockets. It comes out whether it's the town or whether it's the CTC. We're paying, it's not like somebody's making money on this deal. It's really, it's all us. We're all in the same boat. And anyway, I think that we do have to think about how we, you know, we do want to be fiscally responsible, but on the other hand, we've got to think about how we are all operating. So we certainly can have that discussion at another time as part of with a meeting, but I think it's that if we want to have that meeting, that we need to have CTC present or representatives from CTC as opposed to just talking about it. All right. I think now we're ready to go into executive session. Would someone like to make a motion? It's on the agenda. Mark?
Donna, I'll make a motion to go into executive session pursuant to MRSA 405-6A for the process of trying to hire the next town administrator.
Second.
And David seconded. It's been moved and seconded to go into executive session. Mr. Beaupre?
We didn't approve the prior minutes. Do we do that when we come back out of executive session?
Point.
Yeah, I've lost my agenda here. That's the problem. I've got so many pieces of paper here.
We also didn't ask for other business if there is any.
What?
We also didn't
ask. There is nothing.
We didn't ask for other business if there is any.
There is. It's not on the agenda to have other business. I was hoping we were going to get out of here before.
Yeah, it's number 7.
It is?
Roman numeral 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right. Let's go back.
I would like to retract. I will retract my motion.
Thank you. I'm sorry. So the next thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes of October 14th, 2020 and October 21st, 2020.
So moved.
All right. Who moved and who seconded?
Jay moved it.
I'll second.
Okay, Jay and Bo. All right, any comments? All right, so I'm going to do a roll call. Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Damon is yes, it's unanimous. All right, so... under other business, I have one quick comment, which was from Kim Beam and Jim Butler regarding junk cars. And I'm going to put it on a future agenda because it's too late to talk about it tonight. Anything else for other business? Okay, seeing none. Now, Mark.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session pursuant to MRSA 405-6A to continue the process for hiring the next town administrator.
Now second.
All right. So it's been moved and seconded. So Mr. Beaupre?
Yes.
Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Ms. Damon is yes, it's unanimous. And I want to thank everybody who came tonight. And if you need to sign off, because we're now in executive session.